Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv. Subject Nahu 1. Book Bida'atun Nahu. Teacher Sheikh Muhammad Baqir Nijad. Lesson number 1.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب الله العالمين محمد اللهم صل على محمد المحمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم والعن عدوهم. Welcome to Nahw class. Today we're going to start this great book, which is Bida'atun Nahw. You are about to learn this great science of Nahw. First of all, before we read the first page, we have to talk about why we should study this book, of course. Because without knowing why we should study this book, I mean, when we go very detailed in the qawa'id, in the rulings of Ilm al-Nahw, the Arabic grammar, you would start questioning yourself. As I also said in Sarf, that, you know, why am I studying this book? You know, this is too detailed for me. And where does that help me in my studies? And how can I imply that in my studies? So we got to know why we should study this book. First of all, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. Allah says that we have descended this book, Quran, for you in the Arabic language. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. So maybe you can, you may reflect on this book. So Allah, تبارك وتعالى, out of all of the languages that existed, you know, even back then there were many languages, but Allah chose the Arabic language. Now, why? You may learn and understand a little bit of it, why Allah Ta'ala chose the Arabic language. When you learn this book, you would see how detailed and great is this language. For many words in Arabic language, we don't have any equivalent translation. We don't have any translation, exact translation in English. You just have to understand the meaning for it and understand the meaning. And you cannot translate to one word. And this is a really great language that Allah Ta'ala, our creator, you know, not me or not you or not anybody else, Allah Ta'ala, the one who created us, he chose this language to be the language that he's going to talk to us with. That's why Imam Sadiq alayhi salam ordered us, he commanded us to learn this language. He said, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, he said, ta'allamu al-arabiyya. فَإِنَّهَا كَلَامُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي يُكَلِّمُ بِهِ خَلْقَهِ. Learn, as a command verb, learn the Arabic language. تَعَلَّمُ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ. Why? Imam says, because it is the language that Allah Ta'ala chose to talk to his creatures with that language. كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, Arabic language, is the word of Allah Ta'ala. That is the language of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah chose to talk to his creatures with that language. So you see that it is very important, not only for Quran, for our narrations. You should know if you want to learn the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, if you want to know the understand the sayings of our previous scholars, you have to know the Arabic language. And as I also said in Sarf, we cannot depend on the translations. Inshallah, when you finish this book, you go back to the translation, you say, oh my God, there are so many wrong translations, incorrect translations in that have been published. So, and you can give the correct translation of those verses, inshallah, yourself, and you see that, you know, you can never depend on any existing translation. Okay, so that was an introduction about ilm al-nahw and why we should study this language, this science. Now, this book called Bidayat al-Nahw, the first year that I started to study in Hauza, it was the first year that this book, Bidayat al-Nahw, was put into the curriculum of Hauza. Before that, they used to study Samadiya and Hidayah and those type of books in the first year of Hauza. And they would continue studying ilm al-Nahw in the second year with the book of Suyuti. Inshallah, you will study that in the second year. So, but this book is pretty much new. I mean, new meaning like maybe 10 or 11 years ago, it was written by Safai Bushehri, Sheikh Safai Bushehri. And this is a really great book. And inshallah, we'll go through this book. Now, this book is in Arabic. Now, you may wonder, well, I don't understand Arabic, right? And so why should I study this book? Isn't there any other English book that I can study with that English book? First of all, I would say that, you know, if English is your second language, you have experienced this, that the experience that I'm going to tell you. You know, if you want to start learning English, the book that they give you from the first place is an English book, right? It is an English book. They give it to you as the first step to learn the English language with an English book, right? And everything in that book is in English. So you learn that, you learn this language, English, with an English book. Now, same thing in Arabic. If you want to really understand and focus on this language and have a comprehensive understanding of it, you have to, you know, work with Arabic texts, because as I said before, in Hausa, you get to work with text. You will be working with text all the time. And you get to be familiar with text and how to deal with the text and how to, you know, understand Arabic text. So, but in regards to not understanding it, don't worry about it. I'm going to translate each word, and inshallah, you take a lot of notes, right? And as I said, you know, you have to print this book out and or buy it from it's published in Iran, so you can buy it and take a lot of notes, write translation of the words, have a dictionary for yourself, refer to dictionary, you know, Arabic English dictionary all the time, refer to it all the time, and also write the translations that I'm making, you know, in the book, and note, take a lot of notes. Your book shouldn't be empty of notes. It should be, it shouldn't be clear, it shouldn't be clean, it should be, it should have a lot of notes in it, in each page. So write translations, write the i'rab, the vowels. You know, if I say dharaba, for example, zaydun amran, you know, write every vowel that I'm saying and mentioning, and this will really help you. You may not understand the benefit of it now, but you will, inshallah. Okay, so these were my recommendations for you. Now, the first page, ma'rifatu ilm al-nahw. Ma'rifatu ilm al-nahw, at-ta'rif. Ma'rifah means recognition, understanding of ilm is science or knowledge of nahw. At-ta'rif, ta'rif means the definition. What is the definition of nahw? An-nahw hiya qawa'idun تعرف بها كيفية تأليف الجمل العربية من الكلمات. So nahw is qawa'id. Qawa'id means rules. There are rules. We have learned a lot of rules in ilm al-nahw, in which تعرف بها. You can understand by these rules how كيفية تأليف الجمل. How you can compile ta'lif means like how to compile. How you can compile jumal. Jumal is plural of jumla, which means sentences. How you can compile and make Arabic sentences from kalamat. Min al kalamat. Kalamat is plural of kalima. Kalima means word. We talked about it in sarf in the first or second lesson of sarf. We talked about the words kalima. And we say that kalima is a word that has a meaning. And so we learn in Ilm al-Nahw, we learn how to put words together to make a sentence. That's the first thing. The second thing we're going to learn, وَأَحْكَامُ أَوَاخِرَهَا فِيهَا مِنْ حَيْثُ الْإِعْرَابِ وَالْبَنَى. The second thing we learn, inshallah, in this book is the rulings in regards to أواخر, the ending. The ending letters of each word. What type of i'rab you should, or vowel you should put on the at the end, at the last, on the last letter of each word in a sentence. Does that matter? Does that mean anything? Yes, it means a lot. Inshallah, when we go to this book, you will see it means a lot in Arabic. The ending vowels has a lot of meanings. So من حيث الإعراب والبناء, in regards to إعراب, some words are معرب, meaning that they can be, they can accept vowels, and some of them are مبني. مبني means that they cannot accept a vowel at their end, and their ending is fixed with a vowel. Okay, so this is what we are about to learn. This is علم النحو. So based on what we just said, فَالنَّحْ يَشْمُلُ نُوعَيْنِ مِنَ الْقَوَاعِدِ. نَحْ includes two types of قَوَاعِد rulings. Number one, okay, let me, before we go and read this part, let me give you an example so you get an understanding of what I'm talking about. نَصَرَ زَيْدُون Bakran. Okay? Nasara. Zaydun. Bakran. Now, in Al-Mustarf, we learn that Nasara is a verb. Right? Nasara is siga, first, or pattern, the first pattern of past tense verb. Right? This is what we learn in Al-Mustarf. But in Al-Munnah, we learn how to put words together. And we learn that Zayd is a noun. And Bakr is noun. Why? We say, if you remember from Saf, we say that any word that has an independent meaning with no time is ism. So we learned that Zayd is ism or noun, or and Bakr is also ism. Now, we know that Nasara is a verb, Zayd is a noun, and Bakr is a noun. Now, how can we put these words together to make a sentence? This is what you learn in Ilm al-Nahw. It's just like, you know, if you don't know Ilm al-Nahw, you know, and you just study Ilm al-Sarf, it's like, you know, a person who wants to build a great building, inshallah, and the only thing that he has is the material. You know, he has all the material, like he has the brick and the cement and everything, right? But he has no idea, no clue how he can put all of these together to make a building, right? Would these material help him? No. I mean, if he doesn't have the knowledge of how to put these together, he cannot benefit from these materials. So same thing in Ilm al-Sarf and Ilm al-Nahw. In Ilm al-Sarf, you learn the construction of words. In Ilm al-Nahw, you learn the construction of a set of sentences. You know, construction of Arabic sentences. Okay. فَالنَّحْ يَشْمُلُ نَوْعَيْنَ مِنَ الْقَوَاعِدِ. نَحْ includes, based on what we just said, includes two types of rulings. الأول, first one, القواعد التأليفية, the rulings that has to do with compiling a sentence or making sentences. وهي القواعد التي تبين كيفية صوغ الجملة. And they are the rules that explain, تبين, they explain and tell us كيفية, how صوغ الجملة, how you make a sentence, right? Where should the verb be? Where should the noun, the fa'il, the subject, and where should the object be, right? For example, if you wanted to say this sentence in English, right, you would say Zayd helped Bakr, right? You would say the subject first, then the verb, and then the object, right? Or if you speak in Farsi, you would say Zayd Bakra komak kard, right? That's in Farsi. You would say the verb at the end, or I don't know, Urdu or in other languages, but you know, in you see that every language has its own way of putting words together, right? You see in English, you would say the subject first, then the verb, then object. In Farsi, you say the subject and object first, then at the end you say the verb, right? But we are going to learn how to do that in English, in Arabic language. You see that, for example, here we say the verb first, then Zayd, which is the subject of Nasara, is the one who is helping, who has helped, and Bakr is the object, or maf'ulun bih, or the person who has been helped by this great person, Mr. Zayd. Okay, so we are going, the first type of rulings that we're going to learn are the rulings that have to, that has to do with making a sentence. وَخُصُوصِيَّاتَ أَجْزَائِهَا. We also learn the characteristics of each part of a sentence. For example, we're just going to read some examples. These are some terms. You do not know them, but you will learn them, inshallah, in this book very soon. Don't worry. Number one, like for example, this is just giving examples. كَالْعَامِلِيَّةَ وَالْمَعْمُولِيَّةَ. عَامِل is a term in علم النحو. It refers to the words that have effect on other words, right? For example, nasara is a verb. We say that the word that has given raf, the i'rab, the vowel of raf or dhamma to zayd is nasara. We call nasara amir because it has an effect on zayd, and we call zayd ma'mul because it's been affected by nasara. These are terms that you will, you know, we will talk about them every day, inshallah, in this class. وجوب الذكر والحذف. And where are the places that you must say or mention a word? And where are the places that you have to omit that word? And you should not say that word. والتعريف والتنكير. You will learn what type of words are definite, what type of words are indefinite. You know, تعريف means being known and definite, and تنكير are the words that are indefinite. وَالتَّقْدِيمُ وَالتَّأْخِيرُ. You will learn what words you have to precede other words, right? For example, verb should come before subject. This is what you learn. And مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ or object will come after فَعْل. These are the things you will learn. أَوْ جَوَازَهَا. You know, وَجُوبِهَا وَجَوَازَهَا. You will learn the places that you must do these things and the places that it is permissible to for you to bring one word sooner or later and all of that. So that's the first type of rulings that, these are the first type of rulings that we're going to learn. Okay? Second type. الثاني. القواعد الإعرابية. The rulings that has to do with the إعراب, with the vowels, right? Just like I mentioned, you know, we have three vowels. I'm sure that all of you know that, right? Because it was a requirement for you to know, to read and write, you know, the Arabic alphabet and at least like Quran. So this is the vowel of Fatha, A. This is Kasra. Sorry, this should be Dhamma. This is Kasra, right? And this is Dhamma. So in Ilm al-Nahw, the second type of rulings that we're going to learn will tell us where we should put these vowels, right? For example, we say Nasara Zaydun. You know, Zayd gets the Arab of Rafa, Dhamma, not Nasb. And Bakran, because it's Maf'ul, it will get Nasb, not Raf, right? And if you change that, the meaning would change, right? Because Fa'al, subject, gets Rafa, or Dhamma, and Maf'ulun bih, objects, gets Nasb. Now, imagine if you change the vowels on these two words, right? It would change. The meaning would change. The meaning would be, if you say Nasara Zaydan Bakrun, for example, it would mean that Bakr helped Zayd. So subject and object would change. Okay, so الثاني القواعد الإعرابية. وهي القواعد التي تبين كيفية إعراب الكلمات المعربة. It will tell us how we should put the vowels on the words that are mu'rab. Because as I said earlier, there are two types of words in English. Arabic. In Arabic, one type are mu'rab, the other type are mabni. Mu'rab words are the words that their ending change, right? Their endings change. The vowels are at their end, on their last letter basically change. And mabni are those words that their ending are fixed and they don't change. Okay. So we're going to learn what type of vowels would the first type get in the sentence. كإعراب الرفع للفاعل والمبتدا. For example, we say that فاعل, which means subject of a verb, would get رفع, just like in this case, right? زيدون gets رفع. And مبتدا, all of these terms are new, and I know that some of you have no clue and no idea about these terms, and you may be, telling yourself, oh my God, I'm about to learn a lot of terms and a lot of new things. Yes, that is correct, but we will go gradually and we'll talk about these terms in a separate chapter, and it will take a year, but inshallah, at the end of the year, you will know all of these terms and you will be master at these terms. Okay. Well, mubtada. What is mubtada? Inshallah, we'll talk about it. Now, let me give you a brief definition of mubtada. In Arabic, we have basically two types of sentences: verbal sentence and a noun sentence. Verbal sentence is a sentence that starts with a verb. Noun sentence is a sentence that starts with a noun, right? Now, let me give you an example, like Zaydun qa'imun. We call this sentence jumla ismiya, noun sentence. Why? Because it started with a noun, right? So we call the first word mubtada, right? The second word in this sentence khabar, right? And in that case, khabar mubtada means the beginner, the word that begins the jumla ismiya, and khabar is the one that is informing us about the mubtada, right? So this sentence means Zayd is standing. Qa'imun is informing us about the word Zayd. So this is jumla ismiya. You will learn about it. But what we are saying here is that, for example, you will learn that Zayd, which is mubtada, will get rafa, will not get nasb. If you put nasb, you wouldn't, it doesn't make any sense, basically. Okay. والنسب للمفعول. The maf'ul, the object, will get nasb in a sentence. Just like this, the first example, remember? Nasara Zaydun Bakran. Bakran get nasb. And it means that it's the object. It's the one that is being helped. Okay. والجر للمضاف إلي. What is مضاف إلي? مضاف إلي, basically, that also has a big chapter in this book. But مضاف إلي basically is the word that another word is added to it. For example, let me say Kitabu Zaydin, right? Kitabu Zaydin. So which means the book of Zayd. Book of Zayd, right? So Zayd is, we call it mudafun ilay. And mudaf ilay always gets kasra, right? So this is what you will learn in this language. As I said, this is each one of these terms will have a section and a chapter, but you're just getting an over, like a general view of this knowledge here. Okay, second, go to the next page. Al-Mawdu'. What is the topic of this science? What is the topic of Al-Munnah? هو الكلمة والجملة. The topic of this science, المنح, is كلمة, which means word, Arabic word, and جملة, sentence. لأن النحو, why؟ لأن النحو يبحث فيه عن قواعد عن قواعد الكلمة والجملة تأليفا وإعرابا. Because Nahw talks about the rulings of words and jumla. It talks about words. You know, we just talked about it, right? How you should give, what type of i'rab, what type of vowels you should give to Zayd, what type of vowel you should give to Zayd in the first example or the second example, right? This is what we talk about, like in Nahw. Also about the rulings in regard to a sentence, right? Where should everything be placed in a sentence? تَأْلِيفًا وَعِرَابًا. And third, what is the فَائِدَة? فَائِدَة means benefit. What is the benefit of this science? You know, I want to put all of my time, a lot of time, for learning this science now. What do I get out of it? Let's learn. Number one, الْقُدْرَة عَلَى صَوْغِ الْجُمَلِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ الصَّحِيحَةِ لَفْظًا وَكَتْبًا. You will learn, you will, by the end of this sign, by learning, you know, this science, you will be able to make a correct and sound Arabic sentence in saying and writing. وَالْإِحْتِرَازُ عَنَ الْخَطَأِ فِيهَا. And you will have the ability to prevent yourself from making mistakes in sentence. Number two, الْقُدْرَةُ عَلَى فَهْمِهَا الصَّحِيحِ. You will have the ability, by learning this science, you will have the ability to understand. Fahm means understand, to understand this language correctly. You know, without knowing علم النحو, you will not understand Arabic. I can swear that you will not understand Arabic without knowing علم النحو. فالخطأ في تأليف الجملة كذكر الفعل بلا فاعل. One type of, he's giving us an example. What is one type of mistake that we can make in a sentence? فالخطأ في تأليف الجملة, a mistake in making a sentence would be like كذكر الفعل بلا فاعل. If you mention a verb without its subject, you know, if I say helped, you say who helped, right? You will ask about the subject. So if you say a verb, even in any language, not only in Arabic, even in English, if you just say the verb without the subject, people would not understand your talk. كذكر الفعل بلا فاعل. In this example, you say نصر without mentioning زيد. Right? It would be unclear for us who did the job, who did the action. والمبتدأ بلا خبره أصلا. Also, another example of a mistake would be mentioning the مبتدا without the خبر. زيدون قائمون, right? We said قائمون is خبر. If you don't mention قائمون, if you just say زيدون, people will ask you, okay, what about زيد? What type of information are you going to give us about زيد, right? So that would be a mistake, not mentioning the خبر. يوجب عدم فائدتها. And you know, if you have these mistakes, it people will not understand you. والخطأ في إعراب أجزاء الجملة يوجب عكس معنى المراد. If you, now that's about making a you know, making a sentence. In the second type of the type of rulings that we're going to talk about, if you make a mistake in that, you are in a big problem. Why? Because sometimes if you don't pay, if you, maybe you can say 99% of the times, if you don't put the right i'rab on the right vowel at the ending of the word, the meaning would be exactly the opposite. Would be exactly the opposite. Let me give you an example here. Let's say salawat for Imam Mahdi ajjal ta'ala fajr al-sharif before I write this sentence. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjal farajah. Okay. Anna Allah. Anna Allah bari'un min al-mushrikeen. Bari'un min al-mushrikeen. Right? وَرَسُولُهُ لَهُ, right? وَرَسُولُهُ. Now, you see in this sentence, in this ayah, which this ayah means that Allah does not like or dislikes or hates mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, right? Now, if you put the i'rab of kasra, if you make rasul with kasra, let's say rasulahi, it would mean that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dislikes the idol worshippers and his messenger, right? This is something that we never want to say, right? Allah loves his prophet and we love our prophet, of course. So, you know, we just changed a vowel. We didn't do anything to the sentence. I just changed the vowel of dhamma to kasra and the meaning changed, right? Allah, this would mean that na'udhu billah, Allah does not like the idol worshippers and his messengers, but his messenger. But if you put it, if we put dhamma as the correct way of, you know, making a vowel, it would mean that Allah is, you know, dislikes the idol worshippers, and also Allah Ta'ala, sorry, and also his messenger dislikes them as well. Okay. Let me give you another example, which, you know, if you don't put the correct i'rab, the meaning would be actually exactly the opposite and a little bit funny also. Another ayah from Quran. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ. I'm not going to say the i'rab of Allah. Then I will say at the end. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. الْعُلَمَاءِ. Okay. Now, the correct way of putting the vowels would be إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ هَا with fatha مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ, right? And the meaning is that indeed only scholars fear Allah amongst the servants of Allah. Scholars, ulama, fear Allah, right? But if you change the vowel, so ulama is basically the subject of yakhsha, which means to fear. Scholars fear. Now, if you change the vowel of ulama and Allah, if you give dhamma to Allah and fatha to ulama, you know what would the meaning be? The meaning would be indeed only Allah, na'udhu billah, Allah fears scholars. Allah fears, Allah is scared of, na'udhu billah, scholars, which of course it is not true and it's false. So you see that putting wrong vowels, you know, having these mistakes would change the meaning, and sometimes, you know, you're saying kufr, and you don't even know what you're saying. Okay, so this is what we are about to learn in this science, علم النحو. Now, the next page is للمطالعة والتحقيق. At the end of each chapter, it has this section, which is للمطالعة والتحقيق, which is for further investigation and research. We're not going to read these parts in every chapter. So from now on, you know, as we study each chapter, when we get to the end of it, لِلْمُطَالَ وَالتَّحْقِيقِ, we're not going to go over that. And then after لِلْمُطَالَ وَالتَّحْقِيقِ, another section says الْخُلَاصَ. الْخُلَاصَ means summary, the summary of the chapter. And that's, we're not going to read that part, but it's the summary of the chapter that we just talked about. So we can you know, read it, and you know, maybe you can put these summaries, the khulasa, in a separate notebook for yourself to study later on. Now, before I finish, let me tell you what the al-mutala wa tahqiq is saying here, because I feel like it is. I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to tell you what it's trying to tell us, because I think that knowing it is very beneficial here. Okay. It talks about the difference between the four sciences of Arabic language. As I said in SARF class, we have four different types of four different sciences in Arabic language. One is ilm al-sarf, which you are studying. Another one is ilm al-nah, which is this book, right? Third one is ilm al-lugha, right? And the fourth is ilm al-balagha. Ilm al-balagha, right? What is the difference between each, between these different sciences? Now, let me give you an example. For example, let us talk about the ayah in which we say it all the time in our prayer, right? At least 10 times a day. Iyyaka na'budu. Iyyaka na'budu. Which means that we only worship you, Allah. Right? So, now, ilm al-sarf, what does ilm al-sarf tell us? Ilm al-sarf tells us that na'budu is a verb, fi'l. Right? Siga number 14 or pattern number 14 of past tense. Present tense, right? We worship. So this is what sarf tells us. Also, it tells us that iyyaka is a pronoun. Okay? Tells us it is a pronoun. So it tells us the construction of words. That's it. Ilm al-nahw comes in. It tells us, okay, na'budu is, we have a verbal sentence here. Right? It talks about the sentence. Iyyaka na'budu is a verbal sentence, right? Na'budu is verb with fa'il, with the subject, right? And the subject is nahnu, we, right? And iyyaka, this is the fa'il of na'budu, the subject of na'budu, and iyyaka is the maf'ulun bih, or the object of na'budu. So it tells us the sentence structure. Now, ilm al-lugha comes in and tells us the meaning of na'budu, of abd, basically, abada, the root word. What does the root word abada, you know, what does it mean? It tells us the root meaning. So ilm al-lugha deals with the meaning of root words, right? Ilm al-balagha comes in and tells us, well, you know, we see the benefit of each one in this sentence. And ilm al-balagha at the end comes and tells us that, well, iyyaka, as we said, is the object, is the maf'ulun bih of na'budu, right? And originally, it has to come after na'budu, because object in Arabic comes after a verb, right? Now, it tells us, because it has come before na'budu, therefore it has the meaning of hasr, or the word only, right? Therefore, when you translate this sentence, you say, we only worship you. We only worship you, right? Where did we get the word only from? From ilm al-balagha, because it says that when a word that has to come afterwards in or later on in the sentence, it precedes another word, it comes sooner, it would have the meaning of hasr, or only. Okay. This was what the al-mutala wa tahqiq was trying to tell us. Now, next chapter is ma'rifatul kalma wa anwa'iha. Read it for the next lesson. Before you come to the next lesson, try to read that one and see how much of it you understand. Inshallah, when you come to class, we talk about that chapter, and we learn that chapter, inshallah, and also do the lesson, do the assignments for the first chapter 1. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv.